going to go ahead and call the Education Committee to order. Roll will be taken silently by my clerk. Anyone who is not here will be excused until they arrive. You all received the meeting minutes in your inbox. If there are no additions or corrections to those minutes, they will stand approved as submitted. Seeing none, the minutes will stand approved as submitted. Democrats would like to caucus in room 116. Republicans will caucus in room 22. We'll go ahead and call the Education Committee back to order. We have several bills on the schedule today. Again, we will be removing Senate File 168 from today's agenda just to gather some more information. The subcommittee brought out some questions that we didn't quite have answers to, so for now, that bill will be removed from the list. We're going to start out today with SCR 1 with Senator Zahn. You are do you have a committee report?
Yes, I do, Madam Chair. Myself, Senator Giddens, and Senator Cranbeck recommends passage.
You're in order for opening comments.
This is an issue that we've talked about in the past. A little history lesson. Several years ago, I did some investigation because it has been brought to my attention the high interest rates that our students are paying on their student loans. As you recall, that student loans used to be done in the private sector, and then several years ago, it was moved to the federal level, managed through our Department of Education. I just want to say this one thing. This is not partisan to me. The Trump administration was wrong about this, and I think I wouldn't say that President Biden has a lot of responsibility to this, but it's certainly something that's been set up before. This resolution just urges our Congress to think about what they're doing to our students with the Federal Direct Loan Program, the Perkins Loan, and that we are suggesting that we limit that to 2% over prime. Why is this important? Iowa's got one of the highest student debts in the United States. The average has been told in 2019 that every student has on the average of $30,259 in debt after they get out of college. I would question that for accuracy only because they're taking all students in consideration, where we know that there are some students that their parents or grandparents are helping them out with their tuition. Our student loan debt in the nation is at $1.51 trillion. And then, of course, if you get behind with that, the U.S. Department of Education charges 11% for a delinquency rate. What this has done is there's several loan programs that are out there, the direct subsidized loan, the direct unsubsidized loan for undergraduates, and that right there is at 5.05%. The direct unsubsidized loans for graduates at 6.6%, and the direct plus loans for parents and graduates and students, which is really where the majority of that goes. Right now, the current rate is at 7.6. We all know that interest rates are low right now, and so I think it's really important that we send a message to Washington, D.C. to quit taking advantage of our kids and quit making money off our kids. So with that, that will conclude my opening comments.
Is there any further discussion on the bill? Senator Giddens, you're in order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just rise in support of Senate Concurrent Resolution 1. I appreciate Senator Zahn for bringing this forward. He laid out the case very well that our students are straddled with debt. And I just wanted to add that, rising debt over the years, coupled with these high interest rates, coupled with increased tuition, we're seeing tuition go up year after year, has just created a very difficult situation for our students to get out from under for years and years after they graduate. I represent a district that includes the University of Northern Iowa. We have lots and lots of students that are suffering because of this. So I'm grateful for you bringing this forward, Senator Zahn, and I am happy to support this resolution. I urge my colleagues to support it as well. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Zahn, you're in order for closing.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Senator Giddens. It was great to work with you on this. I got to give the Trump administration and certainly the Biden administration credit that it was just announced yesterday that they are extending the no payments or interest rates until the end of this September. So that's a good thing. But why are we doing a resolution? What I discovered is that, and I think Senator Kornbach would probably be able to remember this, but I did have a bill years ago that said that we were going to limit what the interest rate is on any student loan in the state of Iowa. Come to find out, we don't have jurisdiction to do that. So that's the reason why we're doing a resolution. I'd be very happy and honored if everyone would vote yes and we can keep this thing moving forward and send a message to our U.S. Congress, who pretty much doesn't listen to us most of the time. Thank you.
Senator Zahn moves Senate Concurrent Resolution 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion passes, and Senate Concurrent Resolution will be placed on the calendar. Senator Knoyer, Senate File 73, do you have a committee report?
Yes, Madam Chair. I have a committee, the committee that consisted of myself, Senator Jay Taylor, and Senator Trone Garriott all recommend passage.
You're in order for opening comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill provides that when a child requiring special education transfers from the child's school district of residence to a receiving school district, the receiving school district shall complete and provide to the district of residence the documentation necessary to seek Medicaid reimbursement for eligible services. This bill came to me from several school districts, school managers. That concludes my opening remarks.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Senator Trone Garriott, you're in order.
I rise in support of this bill. All of the impacted entities were supportive.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Knoyer, you're in order for closing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the bill.
Senator Knoyer has moved Senate File 73. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Senate File 73 will be placed on the calendar as a committee bill. We are now on Senator Knoyer once again. This is your day. Senate File 90, do you have a committee report?
Yes, Madam Chair. I have a committee report. The committee recommends passage with potential amendment. The committee consisted of myself, Senator Jay Smith, and Senator Jay Taylor, with myself and Senator Jay Taylor signing.
Thank you. You're in order for opening comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate File 90 allows a parent to request their student be retained at their 2020-2021 grade level for the 2021-2022 school year if the student did not make adequate progress for the promotion to the next grade level. This bill also provides that if a school administrator and the student's teacher provide evidence to the parent that the student has made progress, the student's parent can withdraw their request and the student can be promoted to the next grade level. There is an amendment.
You're in order for opening comments on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate File 90.256 strikes the provision allowing a student to change grade levels mid-year. Allowing this could cause difficulties for teachers on ensuring the student was up to date with the curriculum when switching grades and other administrative issues. That concludes my opening comments.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Seeing none. Senator Smith, you're in order. You're on the amendment.
Oh, no.
We'll get you on the bill. No further discussion on the amendment. Senator Knoyer, you're in order for closing.
I move the amendment.
Senate amendment SF 90.256 has been moved. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The amendment passes. We are back on the bill as amended. Senator Smith, would you like to speak now?
Sure.
Senator Smith, you're in order.
I would just say that I'd like to thank my colleague for bringing this bill forward, Senator Bisignano. He doesn't usually do education bills, so I was interested to work with him on this. I think he has a good idea, but I think it already happens. So in order not to bog down the system, I did not sign to pass out a committee because I do think parents work with their teachers, and together they make a very good decision for kids. This is a special year with COVID and some added stresses for both parents and teachers and kids. So it's a good idea, but I think it already happens. Thank you.
Senator Quirnbach, you're in order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I share Senator Smith's hesitancy on this. We certainly have an unusual situation here with a lot of learning loss due to the COVID and the adjustments the schools have had to make. And I think that that's going to create a management problem for them in terms of the enrollment in the various grades levels. I think that in general, this is something that a local school district should manage in consultation with the parent. Certainly the parent has to have a voice in this. But the research in general does not show that retention in grade is a useful educational tool. You may remember we had this discussion some years ago when Governor Branstad proposed to flunk every third grader who couldn't pass some reading test. In the course of developing that policy, we pulled some of the teeth out of that, and eventually we abandoned that for the reasons I just indicated. I think that there's also the potential for abuse here with regard to student athletes. There may be a desire on the part of some parents to retain their kid, to give them an extra year of growth and development so that they might be able to perform better as a high school athlete. I think that retarding their academic progress for such a reason is not, again, not a good idea. If retention is advisable, that's something that should be worked out between the school and the parents. I'm going to be a no on this.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Knoyer, you're in order for closing comments on Senate File 90 as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to thank Senator Bisignano for bringing this bill forward. While I think that some districts do a very good job including parents in the discussion, I don't think that happens necessarily consistently across districts. So this is a bill that encourages that collaboration between school districts and parents, and I move the bill.
Excellent. Senate File 90. Senator Knoyer has moved Senate File 90. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Would you like to be recorded? Please raise your hand if you would like to be recorded as a no. Thank you, Senators. Senate File 90 passes and will be placed on the calendar as a committee bill. We are now on Senate File 117. Senator Knoyer, do you have a committee report?
Yes, Madam Chair. The subcommittee that consists of myself, Senator Cranbrink, and Senator Jay Smith recommend passage.
Thank you. You're in order for opening comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate File 117 allows school districts to raise the additional amounts of property taxes or income surtax under the instructional support program to above the 10% increase currently allowed for the purposes of hiring a school resource officer. School districts can only raise the amount to cover the cost of one school resource officer and his or her body equipment. That concludes my opening remarks.
Is there further discussion on Senate File 117? Seeing none, Senator Knoyer, you're in order for closing comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the bill.
Senator Knoyer has moved Senate File 117. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Senate File 117 passes and will be placed on the calendar. We are skipping over Senate File 168, so Senate Study Bill 1069. Senator Cranbrink, do you have a committee report?
Yes, Madam Chair. I have a committee on study bill, Senate Study Bill 1069, signed by Senator Kornbach, Senator Knoyer, and myself.
Thank you. You're in order for opening comments.
Senate Study Bill 1069 actually is a bill that authorizes the College Student Aid Commission to organize a corporation under the Review Iowa Nonprofit Corporation Act that qualifies under the 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code as a tax-exempt organization. This corporation must be organized for a purpose of receiving and distributing monies from private or public sources to be used to provide Iowans with educational financial assistance, services to increase access and success in post-secondary education and research. That concludes my opening comments.
Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Cranbrink, you're in order for closing comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I simply move the bill.
Senator Cranbrink has moved Senate Study Bill 1069. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Senate Study Bill 1069 passes and will be placed on the calendar as a committee bill. We are now, I'm going to hand the chair over to Senator Taylor for Senate Study Bill 1077.
Thank you, Senator. The next bill up for consideration is Senate Study Bill 1077. Senator Sinclair, do you have a subcommittee report?
Thank you, Ms. Senator Taylor. I do have a subcommittee report. Your subcommittee of myself, Senator Smith, and Senator Taylor recommend passage, and all signing, except I still need to get Senator Smith's signature.
Senator Sinclair, you are in order for opening comments.
Thank you. Senate Study Bill 1077 is a department bill, but there is an amendment that is a strike after, so if I may.
Yes, you are in order.
Thank you. Senate Study Bill 1070, the amendment for this, 0.231, is an amendment that takes the language of this bill to the language that we passed last year related to proficiency and eligibility for taking concurrent enrollment courses. It keeps the requirement that students demonstrate proficiency in reading, math, and science, which can be done through any of the following methods: achieving a proficient score on the state assessment, demonstrating proficiency through the measures of college readiness jointly agreed upon by the school board and the eligible post-secondary institution if they did not score proficient in on the state assessment, or demonstrating proficiency through an alternative but equivalent qualifying performance measure established by the school board, including but not limited to additional administrations of the state assessment, portfolios of student work, student performance rubric, or end-of-course assessments. Concludes my opening comments on the amendment.
Are there any other senators who would like to speak on the amendment? Seeing no further discussion, Senator Sinclair, you are in order for closing comments.
I would move Senate Amendment 1077.231.
All in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. The amendment passes. We will go back now to taking up the bill itself. Are there any other senators who would like to speak on the bill? The chair recognizes Senator Smith.
Yes, I just rise in support of this. I think it's a nice option to be able to have a mutually agreed upon assessment, especially it's helpful to students that don't test well under traditional measures. So just having some kind of an assessment that is mutually agreed upon is beneficial for students. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Smith. Are there any other senators who would like to speak? Seeing no further discussion, Senator Sinclair, you are in order for closing comments.
I just move Senate Study Bill 1077 as amended.
Senator Sinclair has moved passage of SSB 1077. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. The bill passes and will move to the calendar under Rule 40. Thank you. I will now turn things back over to the chair, Senator Sinclair.
Thank you. Our final bill today is Senate Study Bill 1081 with Senator Sweeney. Senator Sweeney, do you have a subcommittee report?
Yes, I have a subcommittee report, recommended passage by Senator Selsey and Senator Rosenblum and myself. I have already turned that into your secretary.
Thank you. You're in order for opening comments.
The Child Development Coordination Council to grant awards on a competitive basis to child development programs for 3- and 4-year-old children who are at risk at public school. Child development programs for 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old children who are at risk. This bill allows certain at-risk funds appropriated to the department and allocated to the AEAs to be used for the same purpose. Also has some cleanup language in it from for the department.
Is there further discussion on this? Senator Selsey, in order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks for bringing this forward. I think it's a great solution. I think it's a wonderful example of using already existing funding and programs to truly help children who are at risk. Thanks.
Seeing no further discussion, Senator Sweeney, you're in order for closing comments.
The bill.
Senator Sweeney has moved Senate Study Bill 1081. Wow.
Yeah.
1081, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Senate Study Bill 1081 passes and will be placed on the calendar under Rule 40. That concludes our business today. And seeing nothing further, Senator Johnson moves we adjourn.